There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Readers recommend.
So with Halloween coming up and all the horror films and series being released online and at the cinema, I thought if you can't beat them, join them. So what was the last book that really scared you? That's what we'll be asking our readers on the show today and you listeners as well. And I'd like to introduce our lovely guest, Courtney Brandt, still with us.
Hello, hello.
A writer, but she's got her reading hat on today.
Well, you can't be an author and not read all the time. Absolutely.
Fair point.
Yep.
Absolutely. We have the wonderful Ariel Robinson.
Hello.
Hello. This is your radio debut.
Yeah, I'm very nervous.
So you...
She sat in the studio for weeks.
I know. So usually, you don't know this, but Ariel is behind the scenes. She does a lot of the social media. She takes photos. She's always here. And she's actually on the show today because I thought she should be behind the mic for once. Yay. She sounds super excited. And also the wonderful Tara Mellon as well, who's a regular reviewer on Talking of Books. But your first time in the new studio.
Yes, it's very exciting. Happy to be here.
So... the books that scared us, it's not always a straight up horror tale. I did say that to you when you were coming on to recommend the books that scared you. It could be something from your childhood that maybe now isn't quite so scary, but it just still retains the memory of scaring you when you were younger. It could be something that scares you as an adult for different reasons. It doesn't have to be supernatural or paranormal in any way. And it could also be nonfiction, you know, terrifying facts and figures about real life. Sometimes they are the scariest at the moment. So I'm going to start with you, Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
What was the book that scared you?
So when I was younger, and it still scares me, I brought up, when I was sending it over to you and I brought up the images, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark and More Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. The images that go with this book are straight up terrifying, and it's going to be made into a film by Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, so it's going to be terrifying.
It's going to just be, the images, I don't think as an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old, like, I kind of questioned my parents at this point because it is not worth, like, no child should be seeing this. But there was something, like, I was so scared I couldn't even have the book in my room to go to sleep. And when I was telling my husband about it this morning, he had never heard of it. And I'm showing him these pictures and he's like, those aren't scary. And I'm like, what are you talking about? These are the most terrifying things I've ever seen. But this story with the image, I always write cinematically. And I think actually, if I look back, that's maybe where it came from, is that it's a very visceral thing when you see these images and you read these books and when you put them together. I've written like a film since the beginning of me writing.
You have an interesting story about books scaring children, don't you, Yvette?
Yeah, I do think you're absolutely right. As parents, sometimes we're pretty rubbish. But you, as a parent, you sort of got to be aware of, there's a safe space where children can read scary stories, and it's a safe space because it's in a book. But it can have maybe unforeseen effects. And my lovely boy Matthew, who's possibly slightly adult now, but still remembers this, and he's forgotten most of his childhood. So this is the impact it had. He had a book from school when we were in England before we came here, called The Ankle Grabber, which was about something that hides under your bed and grabs you. Honestly, the teacher has no idea what trauma that caused me. Forget Matthew.
So this was something you read at school?
Well, he brought it home. It was his library book, I think, or reading book. I can't quite remember. But basically, he would wake, every time he woke up in the night, somebody had to go in and check that there was nothing under his bed. The ankle grabber was not there.
Kids are impressionable. That's
Yeah. Know your child, and as a teacher, just for heaven's sake, be careful what you're giving them before you traumatise the parent.
Well, I never read the ankle grabber book, but that still terrifies me, and I do not let my feet outside of the bed zone.
We had one of these cabin beds, so there was room for a very big ankle grabber under there, trust me. It could have been a whole host of monsters. Yeah.
I'm going to move on because I'm getting a little bit terrified now. Ariel. What books scared you?
So, A Series of Unfortunate Events by Lemony Snicket. Mm. Specifically, the third one in the series, which is The Wide Window. That was terrifying.
So, for anybody, and Series of Unfortunate Events is pretty familiar to a lot of people, but The Wide Window, what is that one about and what's the concept, in case anybody isn't familiar with it?
Okay, so, well, the series follows the Baudelaire children, and their parents died in fire, and they're trying to get rehomed. And they're trying to escape their Count Olaf, which is their kind of crazy uncle, a little bit murderous, and
just a little
not
bit.
Not a great guy.
he's not someone you want to live with. So The Wide Window, which is the third book, they find their Aunt Josephine. So they go live with her, and she is scared of everything. She has a phobia of doors and realtors and like everything you can think
of. Hot food,
yeah. So she lives on a hill next to a lake full of leeches. And they encounter the sailor who is secretly the Count Olaf. And basically they're trying to escape from him the whole time.
And when did you first read them?
I think I was probably about 10, 9 or 10. Yeah.
I haven't read them because I'm slightly older than you. But my sister did, and we saw the films, and they were terrifying even as an adult. But I would ask, is the author quite similar to Roald Dahl? In that Roald Dahl wrote stories for his grandchildren, but they were never particularly positive or happy. They were these amazing tales.
Yeah, I would say, very similar to Roald Dahl, and similar but different.
He starts out by saying that, you know, this is not a fairy story that you're going
put
to
this
love
book
and
down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he's very upfront, which obviously as a child makes you want to read on, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, he's got the right approach.
Yeah. But even reading that paragraph where he says put the book down, it's like, oh, I already know it's going to be dark, and then I have this image in my head of like the dark tale. So that's already like scaring me a little bit.
I still find it interesting how we love to be scared, how we have that moment, whether it's a film, whether it's a series, whether we know it's going to terrify us, the author is telling us to step away, and yet we pick it up anyway. And that curiosity has killed many a character in a horror film and in fiction as well. What do you think it is about fear that tempts us?
I think it is that thing of enjoying it in a safe place.
In a safe space.
So ultimately, you know that what you're reading, unless you're six, maybe, it isn't real, but you sort of need that frisson of...
Oh, that's a good word.
Mm-hmm. I think there was also a study, where it said, like, if you watch a movie, your heart beats as fast and you burn as many calories as, like, going on a 30-minute run.
Oh,
so
wow.
It has, like, a physical effect on you as well as psychological.
I'm bringing that up next time somebody says that I should get on the treadmill instead of watching TV.
I just remember watching a horror film with my husband's family, and it was one I hadn't seen before. It was possibly The Exorcist, actually. And at one point, something particularly scary happens. And my
really?
Brother,
The Exorcist?
Yes, just grabbed me on the shoulder. Honestly, I've never quite got over that. I don't think my heart rate, 25 years later, has come back.
You bring up some good points, but I think, as an author, I actually think sometimes the books, like even though you can have the visual of a book getting adapted to film, that sometimes the book and your own imagination can be scarier. And so reading a book, like Stephen King probably comes to mind, and he's known for that. But there are times in a Stephen King film where it'd be, you know, looking at the source material and thinking, okay, but in my mind, this was even more scary, even if I was in a safe place, that, you know, building it up and building it up versus watching it. The written word is just so powerful.
And I want to move on to a genre that's very popular at the moment. And I know, Tara, your book ties in very nicely to this.
Yeah, it's a psychological thriller. It's called Before I Go to Sleep by S.J. Watson. And it's the story of this woman called Christine. She's 47. And when she wakes up every day, she has no memory of the day before. And actually, she thinks she's a 20-something-year-old woman. And she wakes up and her husband's in the bed, and he has to kind of piece together everything. And every day she loses her memory. But then she discovers a diary that she's been keeping. And she has a phone call from a psychologist. And the first thing he says to her is, "Do not trust Ben," which is her husband. And so throughout the book, she's kind of recalling different events, and because she was told that this was caused by a head trauma, by a car accident. but actually it's caused by something much more sinister. And I think what was so terrifying for me was the book is written as if it's a journal. And so you think, well, you don't, but you take on the role of Christine almost, and you're just questioning, will she ever remember what actually happened? And it's just this complete sense of helplessness because she can't remember anything, and everything is so controlled by her husband that it's really like... she feels so helpless because she wants to recall what happened, but it's, you know, in the deepest recesses of her brain. And she, every day she's getting more memories, but also she's also very aware that your brain can make false memories. So she's trying to work out, is that right? Is that wrong? And she remembers that she has a son, and the husband tells her that he died. And it's this female mother's intuition that drives her to try and find out the whole story of what happened. And yeah, it was actually written before Gone Girl. So, and it was written by a gentleman who worked at the NHS, and he just wrote this in between his shifts. So it's an incredible story. He won a scholarship for the Faber Group. So he was able to write this book. And it's just, I think what's so terrifying about it is it's so realistic. And I won't give the whole story away, but the way that the husband or whatever happened, you can imagine it happening in real life because everything is so meticulous and everything is so well planned that it's a real page turner because you want to work out what happened.
And it did kickstart a lot of other kind of amnesia thrillers being published. I think it was it one of the first, or
yeah,
it was definitely
so.
One of the better known ones.
Yes, so. Yeah, and it is great. And I would agree that those are the books that do keep me awake at night, mainly because I actually have to finish them.
Mm.
That psychological thriller I've been reading recently, B.A. Paris, some of the books there, my goodness, I can't stop reading them. Just read Annabelle Cantaria's latest one. I Know You, same for that. I had to finish it. These people are just giving me bags under my eyes and dark circles. but they're the ones I have to know.
Oh,
I can't
totally.
Actually, otherwise, I lie down, close my eyes, just like, nope.
Yeah. No, my mother gave me the book, and we were actually on like an 8-hour coach ride in Vietnam, and we were getting out to look at this amazing scenery, and I was like, no, I just need to finish. I need to find out what happened. So yeah, I read it in one sitting. Mm. Those are the books that really get me.
Like, yeah, likewise.
I think a really good book is when you actually care about the character. So I have a book club, and we've read 3 or 4 books, and we're like, would we recommend them? And if you don't care about the character, if you don't want them to succeed, then you're like, no, I wouldn't recommend it because it didn't grab me. Whereas this, you want her to work out, you know, she's a good person. It's just so terrifying, you know, that she's in this situation.
And also, even without the sinister elements, that is an example of the lack of memory, of helplessness, is something that I think a lot of people are afraid of, that if they have like a history of Alzheimer's in the family, of dementia, like that real side of it is something that can be very scary. I mean, you've got books like Still Alice as well, which to some people could be very, very frightening, very realistic, and therefore even scarier. In terms of an antidote to fear, I know that you've brought a book that's a different take on scary literature.
It's very serious. So I didn't read any scary books growing up or watch any movies because my imagination was scarier. So I'd never want to see them. But I thought that the antidote to fear is knowledge. So the more you know, the less you fear it. Mm-hmm. And so I read my first nonfiction book this year ever, which is terrible apart from school, which is called Why Nations Fail, another gift. But it's so fascinating because it basically charts the history of the world, and it tells you, like, so it says, why are some nations rich and others poor, divided by wealth and poverty, health and sickness, food and famine? And it's a series of essays, and it's written by two different people, Darren Acemoglu and James A. Robinson. And it's a New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestseller. But I think, you know, there's that my dad will be very proud, there's that Latin phrase, to the victor go the spoils. And I think as a British person, I only ever know the history told by British people, by British historians. And so actually getting a greater sense of world knowledge, it was just wonderful. And it started conversations. And I think in Dubai, because we are in the center of the world, and, you know, we meet so many different people and of different nationalities, you know, you can't always just revert back to, well, we won the war and, you know, the sun never sets on the British Empire. It's actually fascinating to see like why some nations have been super successful and why some haven't.
So an antidote to fear, knowledge.
Yes.
Because I think that's an underlying theme to everything that we've spoken about already. And we have a couple of minutes. I want to talk about another book that you're going to talk about, Ariel. And it's fear of the unknown a lot of the time, isn't it? Whether it's a lack of memory, whether it's what's behind the corner, whether it's what's under the bed, what's going to grab our ankles, or whether or not Count Olaf is going to catch up with us. It's fear of the unknown that I think underlies a lot of this. So what's another series or book that scared you?
A Clockwork Orange by Anthony Burgess.
Absolutely.
That was terrifying.
Yeah. Actually, I studied this for A-level, which was a scary time in itself. So as I was reading this, it helped me be a bit more scared when I was reading it.
Yeah. So what's it about for... I think most people are familiar with A Clockwork Orange, but it's dystopian literature.
Yeah. So it's about this teenage boy called Alex, and he's in a gang full of criminals, and they go around just being violent and breaking and entering and doing all these crimes, and eventually he gets caught and goes to prison, and I won't spoil it too much, but he has to do this a brainwashing technique, which that scene scared me the most because it was the most visual, and you know, it's a brain, like brainwashing, like as a thing is scary. So
there's also like lack of control over what's going to happen to you, and your brain being something that you want to protect, your memory. So that goes back to before I go to sleep as well. Your experiences and your memories not being your own anymore. I think that's a common theme as well.
Yeah. And it was a very sinister scene as well, because the people, the doctors that he was with were very cruel and making him watch these violent movies and clips, even though he didn't want to. And just the way it was being described was disturbing.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny what you're saying about what makes a good book or what makes one you can recommend. And along with the, yes, I want this book to work, I want to know what happens, I only read Clockwork Orange once, probably when I was about 15. I've never read it again, but I can still remember it incredibly clearly. Yeah. And I've read an awful lot of books since then, which again is for me the mark of this book's got something, even if it did.
Yeah.
Yes, terrify me. Forgotten about that. You've brought it all back, Ariel. No.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.